Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Fire safety issues have been raised in over 50 asylum centres, according to a review by the Irish Times. Locked doors, overcrowding and blocked fire exits, just some of the concerns identified. I'm joined on the line by Ellen Coyne, political correspondent with the Irish Times. Ellen, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So how did you carry out your review?
So after the suspected arson attack at the IPAS Centre in Drogheda, County Louth, which I'm sure your listeners are familiar with last week, I decided to take a look at what sort of fire safety issues there might be in direct provision or international protection accommodation centres. So I focused on the reviews that are on the IPAS website. I didn't use the HICWA reviews that have been carried out since 2024 because those are tend to only be permanent accommodation centres, and I thought this would give us a better view. So I read all of the available reports for 2025, so that have been carried out so far this year, and I could see that there were some clear trends with fire safety issues being flagged by inspectors at a lot of these international protection accommodation centres. Most particularly, there seemed to be issues with, number one, a lot of international protection applicants not being able to participate in fire drills because they were in work at the time. And second of all, there seemed to be an issue where when people were around for fire drills, it seemed to take a very long time to get a relatively small group of people evacuated during those drills.
I mean, you looked at some of the times, you know, where you would want to get people out in just a few minutes. It could take a lot longer than that.
Yeah, I mean, in one case, you had an inspector found that it took 30 minutes to get just 11 people out of an IPAS centre. And I'm sure anyone listening has been through a fire drill in work where you can get much higher volumes of people out in a much faster time. An inspector said that a 25 minute evacuation for 86 people at an accommodation centre in Donegal was excessively long. The manager of that centre told me that they did another drill in March and they did get the time down to 6 minutes. But you also had situations where there was a centre, for example, in the north of the country where there was 350 people living there. There was only 141 of them there at the time for the drill because, as I've mentioned, they were in work. And it still took 18 minutes to evacuate those 140 people, which the inspector said was concerning.
Now, there are all sorts of normal things that could be readily done, like fire safety signage, you know, how to exit, making sure that the signs will stay illuminated in the event of a power failure, all of that kind of thing. How many of those issues did you identify?
So those seem to come up a lot in maybe tourism or hospitality businesses that were turned into international protection centres. Obviously, it's happened in towns across the country. And you could see that there wasn't signage on the back of doors. Doors weren't fireproof the way that they would be in maybe like a purpose-built hotel or accommodation centre. You might have a situation where a lot of people could be living on the top floor of a building and there would just be one unprotected staircase operating as a route if there was a fire. Another issue that came up a lot was overcrowding, which is unfortunately a common theme in IPAS centres.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Centres will tell you that it is the government, the IPAS system that, you know, decides how many people live in a centre. And there's a lot of examples of bunk beds being squished into rooms and maybe these dividers being set up that actually block exits. And it also means that a fire exit could actually be within a bedroom and maybe not accessible.
Yeah. I mean, that's extraordinary. In Ballybrit, in the accommodation centre there, fire doors were constantly being propped open by residents. Now, the whole idea of a fire door is that it slows down the spread of a fire. So if it's propped open, I'm sorry, it is ineffective totally. And then two of the exits were actually within bedrooms, which doesn't seem to be a satisfactory situation. There's an awful lot of shoddiness, it would appear, going on in these centres, which, you know, would not be permitted, I would have thought, in regular hotel accommodation.
Oh, definitely not. And I mean, just the Department of Justice did point out to me that these inspections, they're obviously a snapshot in time. And it's very possible that a lot of the reports that we're citing, those issues could have been rectified in between. But I suppose the core point is that this is not purpose-built state-owned accommodation. We're contracting B&Bs, old hotels, different premises, private apartments in some cases, to try to cope with the demands on our international protection system. And you could also see issues where when people don't have access to what we might describe as self-catering accommodation, families don't have their own kitchen, they're putting air fryers, hot plates into bedrooms, plug sockets are being overloaded. In one case, I think an inspector actually found a full makeshift kitchenette that had been constructed in the bathroom of a bedroom, because obviously the family that were living there didn't have access to their own cooking facilities, and this needs to be removed immediately. And I know that previously there used to be a problem in IPAS centres with smoke detectors being taken down so that people could cook in their rooms. Another thing that came up was e-scooters. It's quite possible that people living in IPAS might be working as delivery drivers. They might use e-scooters, and these were being charged in the corridors, indoor corridors of IPAS centres, which also poses a fire safety risk.
I mean, you mentioned Knockalisheen Centre in County Clare, where a number of e-scooters were being charged indoors, and therefore they have been banned. E-scooters have been banned from that particular IPAS centre, which is operated by Aramark. Now, the question there is, a lot of people would have e-scooters simply because they are out in the wilderness, as it were, and if they want to get anywhere, and depending on the local public transport, which may not be great, an e-scooter might be the only way they can move around. So what's to be done?
Exactly. And I suppose I think that's kind of related to the cooking issue I just mentioned, where people are doing this not out of recklessness or a lack of concern for them and their children and the other people living there, but from necessity. And I suppose, yes, the policy did change from September 2025 to say that e-scooters couldn't be stored on site at IPAS centres anymore. But the rules on cooking in bedrooms have also existed for a long time. And any cursory look at inspection reports will show you that that rule is being flouted as well, probably because people feel that they're not getting access to proper cooking facilities to cook for themselves and their families. So, I mean, at the heart of this, obviously, there's a lot of issues of concern here, but I suppose it's all of these stem from the fact that this is not purpose-built state-owned accommodation, that it's kind of a higgledy-piggledy international protection accommodation system that we're
cobbling
together. And then
things like fire extinguishers and fire blankets being provided, but then being moved because they didn't want the kids having access to either the blankets or the fire extinguishers. And if they're not where you expect them to be, what then in the event of a fire? Another case where a door is locked, there is a key dangling beside it, but in the darkness, if you're trying to open an emergency door, that should be capable of being pushed open. But if it's locked and you've got to scramble to get a key with only minutes to get out, that's not on.
Yeah, and I actually saw a picture of that emergency exit, and it is just a key literally on a string beside it. And the doorway is also kind of blocked. There's a Hoover in front of it. There's a lot of clutter. That's also a major issue. Like in a lot of accommodation centres, you have big, huge suitcases blocking doorways, blocking corridors, because obviously people have come here with their entire worldly possessions, and they might be sharing a room with different families where people are being pushed into bunk beds, people sharing with their children. So clutter as well often was flagged by inspectors, who said that if there was a fire, there were so many trip hazards on the escape routes in and out of these international protection centres that was kind of posing a risk to the safety of people as well.
So it may be a snapshot in time, but who's to say that the next snapshot won't be any better? So what is the Department of Justice saying about what they're doing? Are the fire inspectors going back? Are they threatening people with closure?
So we got a statement from the Department of Justice very late last night, and it's very long and detailed, but I suppose the upshot of it is they do say that when these inspection reports are published, if a concern is raised, it does start a process where there's an over and back, and the people managing the centre have to show or demonstrate that they have taken action. I mean, however, I did see a couple of reports where an inspector said, you know, that it's the same issues had been raised in 2024 or 2023. The Department of Justice also told me that when it's not satisfied with the standard of accommodation being provided, it will and has cancelled contracts. And in the last year alone, the department has actually ended 21 contracts with IPASS centres. But I'm still struggling, I guess, to get a little bit of detail on what grounds those contracts were ended, if it was related to fire safety issues, if it was another issue. And of course, it's not possible at this moment in time to get the names of those accommodation centres either.
Ellen Coyle, political correspondent with the Irish Times. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.